Earlier, you had some good speakers. Your officers did a good job, all three of them. Last week, Dan talked about the Lord is my shepherd, in the 23rd Psalm. Actually, I'm going to kind of enhance what he said and build on what he said last week. I was thinking about doing this in May, but I didn't get it done for other reasons. Today, I want to talk to you about the flock of God, the image of the church as sheep. So let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through this message, and that you would, out of the images of the Bible, give us an image for ourselves and out of our personal experience as well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look through the Bible, you can see the people of God. The church is described in a number of different ways. The church is the body of Christ, and you can read about that in Corinthians. The church is called the army of God, and in some ways we are in a spiritual war all the time, and that image works too. In May, I talked to you on Mother's Day about the bride of Christ from the Princess Bride, and with that is an image of who we are as a church. We're also considered a building made up of living stones. And you can find this in the letters of Peter. And then we are called a flock of sheep. And that each image tells us something about our identity as the people of God. We are like a body, and each of us makes up part of that body. We are an army, and we function in spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness in this world. We are living stones in the building of God. We are a bride awaiting consummation of our marriage with Jesus. And being married to God means that God is the most intimate participant in all the events of your life. We are also seen as sheep, and the church is the flock of God. And all these images hold pieces of who we are. They give us an identity and purpose as God's people. And today I want to just kind of enhance a little bit on what Dan said last week. He was speaking of it more in a personal sense. I want to look at the church and see how God sees us as sheep of his pastures. And we discover that this image is all over the Bible. It is everywhere. The most familiar image of sheep as sheep is in Psalm 23, which he went through last week. I would like for us to read just the first verse, which you have printed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. First, who is our Lord? Who is it that has credentials adequate enough to be my shepherd? And why should I be an object of his concern in the first place? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, one of the places where that becomes a picture that we can identify with is in Ezekiel chapter 34. And I have verses 11 to 16 printed. Let's just read them together. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the fountains and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on fat pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the crippled, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will watch over. I will feed them in justice. The Lord is the Lord God of Israel, who we heard it in this reading. The Lord God is the one who will search for his sheep and rescue them. The Lord is the one who will feed us as his flock. The Lord will seek the strayed and bind up the crippled and strengthen the weak. The Lord will make us lie down. This scripture is fulfilled in Jesus. As we see in the scripture in John, which we have printed here, Jesus is the good shepherd. Read with me verses 10 to 16 of John chapter 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. There are a lot of things said about Jesus, just as there are a lot of things said about the church. Jesus is healer. He is teacher. He is miracle worker. He is the rabbi. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But he is also the chief shepherd. And the grounds of his authority are that he laid down his life for the sheep. Before Jesus ever became the chief shepherd, he became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, your sin, my sin. So he knows what the life of the sheep is like, for he not only died as the Lamb of God, but he lived as the Lamb of God and as one of us, though sinless. Jesus understands our weaknesses, our struggles, our temptation. He overcame them all and became the sinless lamb sacrificed for our sin. So he is not only resurrected King of kings and Lord of lords, he is also the chief shepherd. Now, as the chief shepherd, his objective is to develop us as good sheep. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. The main way that we hear his voice is through his word. And you would expect Jesus to show us things in the word that would develop us as the sheep of his pasture. He told us as his sheep, "Fear not, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And you got to think about the paradox of that. To give the kingdom of God to sheep. Can you see it? Here they come. Back, Lambert, back, coming down the path. That's us. It's kind of confusing to our minds. Sheep are not very impressive, actually. They are dumb as a stump a lot of times. They may be lovable, but they are not very bright. There are not a lot of sheep that rank high on the IQ level in the tests of life. Now, some of you may be thinking to yourself, "Is Jack telling me I'm stupid?" Not me. But if the shoe fits, well. And even as I'm saying that, I am also one of the sheep of his pasture. I'm lovable, but I haven't always been really that bright when it comes to running my life. But I know deep in my heart, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say that verse with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. This really means that I shall not lack proper care and management and fulfillment of my life. I shall not want. Are you under God's care and know it? Have you entrusted yourself to Jesus, giving you direction for your life? Our problem is that we don't come under the lordship of Jesus with our lives a lot of the time. We wander off. And then we have no one to care for us. You know what we do? We search for safety and security in this world rather than in Jesus' care. We are restless and greedy. We are full of fear a lot of the times. We're unsettled. We have a tendency just to kind of gad about. And sheep will even get to eating and they will just eat their way out of the flock and get lost. The Good Shepherd, Jesus, is continually alert for the welfare of His flock. It's an image that is a picture for us. Are you satisfied and content with Him leading your life? Last week, Dan talked about this book by Philip Keller on the 23rd Psalm. In that book, there is one little picture that he tells of a ewe who typified what he saw as a fence crawler. Now, a ewe is a female sheep. And he called them fence crawler Christians. They're people who are somewhat dissatisfied. They have one foot in this world and they have one foot in the kingdom. They're kind of like half Christians or amphibians. You know, they're on the land, but they're also in the water, so to speak. They're always looking for greener pastures, fence crawlers. And in the book, he tells about this shepherd who had this sheep that was a fence crawler. One of the best, excellent wool, bright eyes, strong and beautiful, and she would give strong lambs, but she was restless, a fence crawler. And no matter what field she was in, she was always looking for a way out of that field into another. And she also taught it to her lambs as well. She just wasn't content. She continually broke through fences. She taught it to her children, and she would lead other sheep through holes in fences. This shepherd finally had to get rid of her because she was so detrimental to not only herself, but the rest of the flock as well. She was a sheep. In spite of all that he did, she still wanted something else. And that picture of a wayward sheep is a pretty strong reminder and warning to what I call half-Christians. You got one foot in this world, one foot in the other world, and they want the best of both worlds. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's read verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me beside still waters. Now there are some things that are true of sheep and people. In order to get sheep to settle down, they have to be free from fear, free from fighting among themselves, free from flies and parasites, and free from hunger. And the same is true of the people of God. In order for us to settle down as God's people, we need to be fed, we need to keep the peace, and we need to get rid of pesky little irritations and things that eat us alive, you might say. And we need to be unafraid. And it is only the shepherd that can provide these things. It all depends upon the work of the shepherd. A flock of sheep that is always restless or agitated or disturbed or hungry or full of fear does not do well. And let me tell you, neither do churches, God's people. Sheep are fearful creatures. They're easily panicked, much like us. If startled, sheep will bolt, not waiting to see what frightened them, and much like some of us, boy, we just take off. Sheep have little or no means of self-defense either, much like us. We live in a very uncertain life and world. Any hour can bring disaster or danger or distress because life is full of hazards and no one can tell what a day will bring. We live either in fear and anxiety or in a sense of rest. Which is it? Generally, it is the unexpected and the unknown that produces the greatest panic. It is the grip of fear that most of us are unable to cope with in harsh circumstances and confusion of life. And often our first reaction is to run. But if Jesus is your good shepherd, it makes all the difference. Read with me verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It is his presence in your life that calms you. The outlook changes. There is hope. Yea, though you may be walking through the valley of fearful things, you know who it is that walks with you. It is the good shepherd who makes us lie down. Back in 1984, I went to Australia with the Upper Room to help start the Walk to Emmaus down in Australia. And I was gone for about 2.5-3 weeks down there. And when I went there to do that, I had an opportunity to visit one of their large sheep ranches. Now, Australia is known for its sheep ranches. And between the men's weekend and the women's weekend, we went on tour, so to speak, for 4 or 5 days. We went to a sheep ranch, and we spent most of a day on one of them. And I had been in the ministry then. I had been a minister for 12 years, so I had been a shepherd for 12 years for people. And it was very eye-opening to me about how they really deal with sheep. And how sheep are handled. So let me tell you of 3 things that are done to sheep. And I have them listed in your bulletin under the scriptures. Drenching, dagging, crutching, and shearing. We don't think about that. We think about sheep just out there all the time. But these are things that are done to sheep. Which I think also make them settle down on green pastures. Drenching, dagging, and crutching. Shearing we've heard of, drenching. Drenching is a fluid forced down sheep. It's like they grab that sheep, pull his mouth open and say, ah! And they pour this stuff in and make them drink it. Drenching. And what it is, it's a number of chemicals and antibiotics to rid the sheep of worms and parasites internally. Now these sheep would probably be able to live without drenching. But it is a valuable process to get rid of parasites that weaken the sheep's health and strength. Now, I kind of draw a parallel in us. As I said, I've been a shepherd for 12 years when I went down there. As God's sheep, when God says to us, kind of like, open up and say, ah. And then he dumps the medicine in. The Holy Spirit into us. When God really gets a hold on you and he puts his Spirit in you, it will get rid of a whole lot of things like parasites that might not kill you but can weaken you in terms of your life. When you get the Spirit of God in you, it will kill and flush out many of the infections that come from the world around us. Drenching. Dagging. Dagging has to do with the removal of things in the wool, like thorns or burrs or briars. And the most problematic item that sheep get in their fur is sheep dung. They get it in the pasture. A sheep's wool will pick up pieces of sheep dung from itself and other sheep. And when those droppings get caught in the wool, it gets matted down. Then flies come, and they begin to gather, and the wool becomes a nest for flies and maggots and such, which begin to bore into the skin of the sheep. They find a nesting place and become destructive and infectious, and they can become deadly to the sheep. They use an instrument, it's kind of like a big fork, that they go in and they dig on their wool to get those kinds of things out of them. Like sheep, the regular cutting away of things that accumulate on us and corrupt us is important to our health and our well-being. Now, I want you to make the analogy for yourself, okay? You know, we go through life and we pick up all kinds of stuff from other people, ourselves, from the world around us. Somebody here may be saying to himself right now, I can't believe he's talking about this, but you know it's the truth, isn't it? Just as sheep pick up all kinds of things from where they live, so do we. And it gets stuck on us. And it can begin to fester on us and get infected. Now, you don't even have to make an effort to get corrupted either. That I would know. You don't even have to participate in it. You can just pass through this world, the pastures of this world, in any given week, and you pick up stuff which gets hung up in the wool of our lives. You can drive by it and see it on billboards, or you can turn on the TV or the radio or get it at work. Or your kids go to school and somebody is always messing around, you pick it up from them. It's all over the place. And it's not a matter of being willfully involved in the dirt of the world. It's just there. And sometimes we get it on ourselves. Sometimes it's from our own sinfulness, but a lot of times it's just stuff out there. So there are some things that just have to be combed out or dagged out and dug out of our lives, kind of like cutting away at times. Dagging for God's sheep is important to keep us healthy. Sometimes we need to come up to the Good Shepherd and just nudge him to do a dagging on us. We know, we know we're foul. We've been out there. We got that all over us. And we know we need it. Sometimes the Good Shepherd, Jesus, he'll sneak up on us. And buddy, he'll do a dagging on us because he knows we need to have this stuff combed out of us. Dagging is an important thing to sheep, and it is to the flock of God as well. One of the names for Satan is Beelzebub, which means Lord of the Flies. And if a dagging isn't done on us now and then, the Lord of the Flies will find a nesting place in the filth of this world that gets stuck on us. Dagging is essential to the care of sheep, and the chief shepherd wants to do that in all of our lives on a regular basis. But we need to be open and responsive to his doing it. Crutching is similar to dagging, but it is complete shaving of the underbelly of the mother sheep when they are bearing lambs. And the reason is so that the lambs can get to the mother's milk without there being any of the wool around. If the wool is present, then there will be some impurities mixed in with the mother's milk, and this is the transmission of things to others that have been accumulated on yourself. Now, if we are one of God's sheep, every single one of us will transmit something of the life of Jesus to others. The milk of God's grace flows through us, you might say, and even though there may be a lot of other things in my life, I am trying to let as much as possible of Jesus flow through me. Well, if you are nurturing other Christians, that is, if you are a leader, and parents, you're leaders, if you are feeding other sheep, and if you are in a position of leadership which flows the life of Jesus, then you need to let the Lord get close and shave you in the parts of your life that need that feed other people, especially. If we don't, we can transmit more than just the life of Christ. We can transmit some of the things that can be infectious and dangerous to us as well. And we can especially do that with young Christians. So we see that the Lord makes us lie down in green pastures by feeding us properly, dealing with our fears as we sit beside the still waters, by cleansing us from all the stuff that we pick up from the world around us, and then he restores our soul. When I think of having my soul or your soul restored, I think of the whole process of shearing, which I saw in Australia. When the sheep arrive, they are huge. When they get sheared, there is hardly anything left of them. And while I watched, there are a few things that really impacted me as I watched them. First, the sheep are very submissive. But part of that submissiveness was due to the hold that the shearer had on the sheep. I tell you what, these sheep come in, and this guy gets a hold of them. Boy, and they can't do a thing. And so they just said, okay. But once the shearer gets started, the sheep, they just let it happen. I thought about us who are the Lord's sheep. You know, we're not too willing to let the Lord come and shear us. But when he gets a hold on us and he gets started, sometimes we get calm and we just let it happen. We don't, though, until the hold is put on us. The second thing that impressed me was the speed with which this guy sheared the sheep. I mean, they have contests down there for sheep shearing. It was less than 2 minutes, and when he got done, there was a whole coat of wool. It didn't come off in pieces. It was all together. And it must have weighed 40 pounds or more. But it was a whole coat. It was a full-grown sheep, which he was throwing around and cutting on, and he did it in less than 2 minutes. And when he got done, the sheep stood up and looked absolutely nude. And the other thing that I noticed about it, they actually looked kind of relieved. Now, I realized they might have been kind of relieved because the traumatic 2 minutes was over, but the burden of the weight was gone. When it came in, it looked very dignified, but afterward it just looked like skin and bones, but it looked relieved. And I stood there watching this scene. I picked up on a couple things. First, that sheep get rid of a load of stuff that they don't have to carry around anymore, and it was heavy. The second thing is that there is now a fresh capacity to grow a whole new coat. And that wouldn't happen unless the shepherd shears the sheep. I also learned that there are a couple of things that shearing deals with. First, sheep can't see very well with too much wool. In fact, they can go what they call wool blind because the wool around their face gets so gathers bugs, and it will blind a sheep eventually. They also lose peripheral vision. They can't see, and the loss of vision increases the possibility of getting stuck in places and trapped in thorns and such because it can't see very well. The second thing that is a problem if shearing doesn't take place is that there will be no lambs. The coat gets so thick that the male can't get close enough to the female so that reproduction can take place. Now, there are lessons here that are pretty obvious to me. Shearing is essential for reproduction and to the laying aside of the burden of past fruitfulness so that a new level of fruitfulness can take place. I can see the Lord shearing us in a couple of ways. One of them has to do with attitudes and stuff. I mean, attitudes. Well, we can just kind of build up all kinds of burdens from our lives. And every so often we need to have those burdens removed so that we feel lighter and so that new growth can happen. Attitudes that support us so that we look bigger than we really are. Pride is in who we are and what we produce. That sneaks in is good, but it becomes a burden. And we need to be relieved of some of those things from time to time. Some of us just need to be cut down to size every so often. And once you get rid of a load of pride, sometimes it's just a load of stuff. Sometimes it's just a load of responsibilities or self-deceptions that we have designed, and it's all over us. Sometimes it's just too many activities or too many business opportunities. Then sometimes it can just lighten your load, and we need to get it cut back a little bit. Sometimes the Good Shepherd just reels us in, and he gets a hold on us and shears us. And it's not always bad. In fact, sometimes it's very good for us because it has to do with more fruitfulness. Life becomes a burden, and we need to have some of it cut away. And we clutch at our own resources. You know, we get defensive and protective when the Good Shepherd comes and he says, I want you to give of yourself, and you need to let go of some of your fruitfulness so that it can be used in a productive way. Now, this isn't a stewardship message, but I also saw that picture in this. It has application. God's work through the church and other ministries is eternally significant, but we don't like to get sheared. And sometimes we aren't as productive as we should be because we don't allow the Good Shepherd to shear us in terms of our giving. In heaven's eyes, there are issues that are important to the Good Shepherd, but we make a decision whether or not we're going to submit to them or not. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. If you're a member of his flock, do you hear his voice? He is the one that you need to listen to. He calls you by name, and when you need to be there to be touched by Jesus for drenching, dagging, crutching, or shearing, do you come? Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that whatever I said today would be in such that it would speak to us concerning our lives. In Jesus' name.